Yeah, I can see that she loves her kid more than she loves us, yeah. But I feel this relationship is changing.
Yeah.
Well, and the fair and equal was really, it's a concept for us, but it's not like we were perfect in it all the
right.
time.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another Family Care Learning podcast. My name is Brandon Jones and I am the director of Arizona Family Counseling at Christian Family Care. With me, I have one of our therapists, Steve, and his wife, Deanna. And we are talking about the step family curriculum that we call Developing a Healthy Merged Family. If you haven't checked out the previous podcasts on it, check out the links below to kind of get you caught up. But today we're talking about the second session of this curriculum. So we did manage expectations for M and then the E. What's the E about?
E stands for educate.
Okay.
So if you think about it, it's kind of a natural progression that we're looking at here. So once we've learned to be able to manage those expectations, now we're ready to be able to educate ourselves, to train ourselves so that we then can in turn train our families, our children in what does a healthy step family look like?
Yeah.
Healthy merged family. And so that's kind of what this class is all about. It's about trying to now introduce the things of what does a healthy merged family look like.
So with that, what does a healthy merged family look like? What are some of the characteristics that you kind of talk about?
Right, yeah. Well, actually, before we get to that, I think really what we need to do is we kind of need to stop, and it's really important to understand what our children see, what their perspective is within our merged family. And because with that in mind, it can even then enhance this training that we're about to embark on.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that we like to talk about then is that understanding that our kids didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
So when you stop and you think about it, when my girls, their mom and I, when we got divorced, my girls didn't have a choice in that.
Yeah.
They didn't get a decision.
Yeah.
Right? It just happened.
Yeah.
And they were told about it.
Yep.
Same thing is that when I remarried, now my girls knew Deanna before we got married.
Yeah.
And they had known her for many, many years just because our two families were very close.
Yeah.
Our parents were our best friends.
Yeah.
And so, they knew Deanna pretty well at the time, but they still didn't get a choice in who I was going to marry.
Yeah.
It's not like I, you know, had a lineup of all these women and, you know, here's six to choose from.
Yeah.
You guys all, you know, look them over really good, kind of ask them some questions, you know, do a little interviewing, maybe some speed dating type of thing, you know,
speed stepmomming.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, what chores do you like? What chores do you don't? They didn't get a choice in the remarriage either. So kind of understanding that really in the midst of all of this, none of the decisions were left to them.
Yeah. I can see how that aspect can have such a feeling of loss, right? Like, because it's like, I don't have any control over this. And,
right. Exactly.
And yet now I have to deal with those consequences of that. That can put a child in a pretty dysregulated place, or at least it's like, wow, they're going through a lot of grief with that, right? Like, and so it's like, wow, like, yeah. And so knowing that helps to kind of have these characteristics in mind as we're kind of working through.
Yeah.
Right. I think the other thing is kids are pretty much confused after a divorce, right?
Okay.
They're like, well, mom and dad couldn't stay together. And who says that these two are going to, you know, mom and stepdad or dad and stepmom are going to stay together. And so they might act out, right? Steve was touching a little bit about the foundation before.
Yeah.
But in that instance, you know, if you've got teenage stepchildren and you're trying to understand, is this a step family thing? Is this a step problem? Or is this a just a normal growth and development problem, right?
Yeah.
So if you hear the words, I hate you, you're not my real mom, you could probably put that in the step category,
right?
However, if you hear, oh, I wish I was never born into this family, that may just be a normal thing between biological siblings.
Yeah,
Yeah. Right.
Well,
yeah.
One of the things that we hear a lot is like a step parent. They're like, you know, oh, my stepkids won't even acknowledge my presence. Well, it's like, and you dig a little bit deeper and it's like, they're 15 years old.
Right.
They're getting up, they're getting ready for school. They walk through the kitchen, step mom or dad says, well, good morning. I made you this great breakfast. And they just
grab a Pop-Tart and leave.
They look and they don't even say a word. They don't say good morning. They don't say anything.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, and people get upset over that, you know, and they take it personally. And that's understandable to a degree.
Right.
But by understanding more of our kids' perspective, it can kind of help mitigate some of that. That may very well be, and most likely is, a developmental thing. I mean, how many parents in nuclear families have teenage kids where literally there are no words spoken in the morning?
Right.
To speak Don't a word is just like, whoa, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so keeping in mind, right, as we look at these characteristics of going, our kids are struggling, whether it's with step-related choices and kind of the blending of the families, or just where they're at developmentally, there could be challenges with that.
Sure.
And so in light of that, what are the kind of characteristics that you use for a healthy step-family?
One of the things that we like to do, and we really love this class a lot, is the fact that we take a look at the fruit of the Spirit. And when you stop and you think about it with the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, we have the nine, you know, characteristics, and it is a fruit, not fruits of the Spirit. That's important to differentiate.
Yeah.
Because it's not nine different fruit.
Yeah.
Fruits.
It's one fruit with nine different characteristics. So in other words, really, and a lot of times this gets overlooked, is the fact that in order to have the fruit of the Spirit, you need to be, it's not like you have to be excellent in one. Like, I'm excellent in faithfulness, but I really stink when it comes to patience.
Yeah.
You know, we all know you never pray for patience, right? Because that means everything's going to go wrong in life, you know?
Yeah.
No, we're supposed to be active in all of them. We may be strong in certain areas, absolutely.
Yeah.
But we need to be actively seeking to be better in all nine characteristics.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's true in a step family as well.
I love that. And so that's kind of the way that you measure up as far as these characteristics of the healthy step family. And so do you just kind of take them one by one then, or do you kind of group, how does that work with that?
So we take a little bit of a different perspective when it comes to that, you know, you know, if I may, I'm going to read you Galatians real quick because it's going to help put this into perspective.
Yeah.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And that's Galatians 5:22 and 23.
Yeah.
So that verse starts off with love, joy, and peace. Okay. But when you take a look at a step family, love, that is a little bit different.
Shaking her head.
You want to chime in right there? You're shaking your head.
Because, I was like, oh,
because really
great.
And truthfully, when we teach this class, we teach it because I'm not, even though Deanna brought a daughter into our relationship from her previous marriage, I adopted her.
Yeah.
So she's mine.
Yeah.
I adopted her. Yeah. I mean, I've been daddy all her entire life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so even though she knows that she has another biological father out there, I'm dad.
You're dad.
And so I can't come from the step-parent perspective because I was literally a step-parent technically speaking, I was a step-parent from by the time we got married, I think almost 4 years, not quite four full years.
Yeah.
But she was two when we got married.
Yeah,
so right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I don't
understand the step parent perspective. But I teach from the biological perspective.
Yeah.
Deanna, on the other hand, teaches from the step parent perspective because that's all she has ever been and still is.
Yeah.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. Well, I'm also a biological mother.
Right.
When I teach and when I talk to others, I really do come at it from the step parent perspective because they're unique. Things and not loving your stepchild the way that you love your own biological child is key. And I think that there's so many men and women that are afraid to say that aloud.
Mm.
And I learned a long time ago. We had only been married maybe 2 years. We had found out that we were in one small group at another church, thinking we were the only step family, like in that entire section. Come to find out when we decided to go to a different church that had support for our type of family. Quietly, the wife of one couple said, well, we're actually a blended family, but we don't like to tell anybody because of that shame thing that we were talking about before, right?
For sure.
And that's when I decided I will be as open and transparent, as honest as I can possibly be. And that doesn't mean that every stepmom feels the way that I feel.
Yeah.
However, that's a key thing to being able to own your own truth. It's like, yes, I loved them as I would any other kid on the planet, right? Yeah. But it took time.
Yeah.
It took a lot of time.
And you didn't love them the way I loved them.
No.
Right.
The unconditional type of a love that a parent has for their biological children.
Right.
And that's, I think that's what's important, is to give a step parent the freedom
to say, I'm not there yet.
I don't love them that way.
Right.
Doesn't mean I hate them.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It just means that I'm not to your level yet. But that's, you know, it is possible to get there. And they, like, I have three stepdaughters, right? All different ages, all different personalities, and I have distinct relationships with each of them. And I didn't get to that unconditional love with all of them at the same time.
Right.
Because it has to do with our personal relationship. And actually, once he stepped out of it, our relationships got a lot better.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think, right, like, you think about the, there's really only one kind of way that attachment grows and builds, like this process, and it takes a long time with, you know, babies, as you're investing day after day, feeding, taking care of, right? Like, your attachment grows in this incredible way that lasts a lifetime with that. And so it's the same way, right? But they're just oftentimes not babies anymore. You're having to develop this attachment.
Yeah.
And though the to your point, right? Like, I think about, I had two, you know, blended families that I was going back and forth. And one of the things I kind of noticed oftentimes was it was kind of like wherever the mom of that blended family's heart was, that was like the thing that was the most time was spent in that area, right? And so it was like there tend to be more time spent on my mom's kids, me and my siblings, right, in that blended family. In the other family, there's a little bit more time spent on the stepmom's kids, right? And so, but even just to be able to give couples the freedom to kind of talk through that and almost kind of create this awareness, because I think honestly, it was something that they were doing, they weren't even aware of. Like, I don't think either one of them were like, oh, I'm just naturally going to invest a little bit more into those that I love more deeply or more naturally, right? And it's like, just to even talk about that, I think would give the spouse freedom to go, it's okay that you don't love my kids the same way that you love your kids, but let's be aware of it and say, call it out. And so that we have the ability to talk through that. Like,
let's talk about the elephant in the room. And yet nobody even realizes the elephant's in the room.
There's an elephant in the room.
Yeah. Right.
But that really, that conversation when I said, just so you know, I don't love your kids like I love my kid. That brought us to the fair and equal whenever possible rule that we have in our family.
Yes.
So, you know, I may be at different areas of love with all of them, but they're all going to get birthday gifts and they're all going to get doted on at graduation and they're all going to get the prom dress of their dreams, as long as it's within budget.
Right.
I mean, there are realities that we have to look at as well.
Yeah.
And I think through being fair and equal, they were able to understand that, okay, so she's not my mom. I can see that she loves her kid more than she loves us, but I feel this relationship is changing.
Well, and the fair and equal was really, it's a concept for us, but it's not like we were perfect in it all the
time. Right, of course.
You know, because there's other mitigating factors that can get in the way of that, you know, like maybe, you know, a financial job loss. Financial situation. I mean, some things change those things, but that was something that we shot for.
It was kind of a
goal.
So all of that to say that the fruit of the spirit, that's why we flip it, because we don't start with love, and self-control oftentimes is the better place to start.
Absolutely. So flipping this around, right? And so it's going, I'm not going to first talk to you about love. We'll get there. But first, let's talk about just controlling yourself with that. So what is, what, What does that kind of look like a little bit?
Again, before we get into that, yeah. I want to take you yeah. to a something else too, because there's something that's very important about this, the, yeah. this verse in, yeah. in Galatians, and that's that first word, but, at the beginning of the fruit, the verse for the fruit of the Spirit says, okay. but.
Yeah.
Well, we've stopped thinking about it. Why is that? Why is the but there?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's there because it's comparing this list of the fruit of the Spirit to something else. Mm. So I'm going to read you, and it's just yeah. a kind of quick thing on that. And it says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Mm-hmm. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy.
Now, hold on. If that doesn't sound like a bio mom and a stepmom right, having coffee right, together, yeah. I don't know what does.
Yeah. Factions and envy, right. discord, right? Yeah.
So we need to realize that, you know, as while we're striving, you know, to work on these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit,
yeah.
there is this opposite side that we're kind of warring against in yes. the process.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the side where we naturally want to go to yeah. sometimes, especially within a step family when you have a lot of drama going on. Mm. We naturally want to gravitate to those particular things.
Yeah.
And so we want to be able to look at those and compare those. But so I just wanted to mention that really yeah. quick. But so what we end up doing is we kind of see these nine characteristics. We kind of break them apart a little bit, actually. We look okay. at the first six in reversed order. So just by way of refresher.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at is self-control, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, patience. So those okay. six, okay. we look at those six as the things that we're working on.
Yeah.
Kind of like the journey in our step family.
Yeah.
But then we look at peace, joy, and love is more of like the rewards. And I realize that's not the intent of the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
Okay. But within a step family, that's kind of the perspective that we take, is that the peace, the joy, and the love are the rewards that we're working towards when we can learn to control and work on these other six characteristics.
Yeah, yeah. And I think about, right, like you're saying with that but, right, if you're letting your flesh kind of take over with those expectations and we kind of talked about last time, and you're really kind of letting that rule, right, it's going to kill things like the ability for love to grow if there's this tension, this fighting, this faction, this discord, right? And so it's like, just even thinking through my head, it's like, yeah, hey, first of all, just control what's coming out of your mouth right now.
Yeah.
So that even though you might be thinking like, I am so not loving this child that's right in front of me right now, you're controlling yourself, right? Because you know
right.
that's going to take some time.
Well, wow. and
also you're the adult.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
I mean, truly, right, I think that there's a lot of parents and step parents that forget that even if you're dealing with a 17-year-old, still a child,
yeah.
still a minor.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they're in their early 20s and in college,
yeah.
still maybe not a minor in the eyes of the government.
Right.
But not fully developed yet.
Right.
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 And so, and there's a stunt that happens at divorce that kind of can keep some kids back with
yes.
developmental stages.
Which when you think of it in terms of trauma, you know,
yeah.
we know very much yeah. about. And the fact that, you know, yeah, that's what trauma does to
yeah,
us. And maybe
stuck.
This isn't
yeah.
a big T trauma necessarily, but every step family is different.
Right. So,
and every divorce is different experience for the kids.
Yeah.
For some kids, that divorce can be a big T trauma.
Big T, yeah, especially.
Yeah, and then for other kids, controls. It can be a small T. And for other kids, it may not be a trauma at all. The trauma might have been everything that led up to
yeah.
that divorce.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, it's, yeah, there's just such a richness in this. And
yeah.
to go back to your, right, like the adult versus the kid, like I think about the circle of security where you're the attachment figure, the parent is called the bigger, stronger, kinder, more regulated individual, right? And that's always the case. And if we're wanting to develop love or secure attachment with anyone, especially a child, we really have to be that bigger, stronger, kinder, more regulated individual for them to kind of have this mutual attachment and growth. And so, wow.
You have to lead the way.
Yeah, you really do. You really do. And so, yes, the first step in kind of this curriculum is going control, self-control.
Correct.
Yeah.
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 And through each of those, we take a look at, you know, what does that opposite look like?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And how, what does it sound like within a step family?
Yeah.
Because there are things that, you know, that it sounds like, you know, when you talk about a lack of self-control, what does that look like? And we look at it from, what does that lack of control look like for the biological parent? Mm. What does it look like for the step parent?
Yeah.
So that each person is identified in this and has something to be thinking about, and then pointing them into the self-control. And what does self-control look like?
Yeah.
And so we look at that in each one of those characteristics. We look at that aspect of
it. In this class, do you see a lot of this going on with like head nods of like, I know exactly what you're talking about with this lack of self-control.
So it's interesting in session one, where we're managing expectations, we get a lot of this.
Deer in headlights.
Because they're just like, they've never heard of this. They've never gone there. But then when you get to this class, the first E, they're just like, yes, all of those things. Yes, I see it. And yes, it's our natural tendency to point flaws out in others first. But as we keep reminding people, don't poke the person next to you. Don't be thinking about the ex or your ex or their ex or, you know, the ex down the street, whoever. Yeah. Like, how does this apply to you?
Yeah.
And what can you do today? What can you go home? What is one change you can make today that will make a difference in your step family?
Yeah, I love that. So practical.
A lot of times in the very first class, we'll get either a step parent or a bio parent. Will jump up and like, you know, raise their hand or something. And they want to point out, like Deanna said, the flaws in the other person. Well, this is what they do.
Yeah.
And then you start to get to this class and it's like, uh-oh, wait a second.
I'm
involved here too. Yeah. I play a role in this whole thing. And then by the end of the whole series, it's like we've seen actually some actual transformations, which has been amazing.
Praise God.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's all God.
It's
absolutely all God.
And I love thinking about this as you're saying, this progression, right? So you're working through these kind of first behavioral, right? You're like, I'm just going to shut my mouth sometimes, right? And not. But as you continue to invest in this and kind of walk this pathway of a healthy family, I'm imagining that's when you start to see like this, like you're saying, a transformation where it's kind of this love and peace. And really, it's like you can't do any of this without God's help through that, right? Like this is right. Like he's guiding this through scripture and time with him and his working or convicting each parent in that way. Yep. And it's like, what a cool opportunity for him to get the glory in that. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Absolutely. Yep. Oh, absolutely.
And so you go through and just thinking about like, man, isn't the way that like, as you're talking about self-control and we read through that list, it's just like, that really is how God deals with us, right? Gentleness, kindness, patience, right? Like all throughout my spiritual growth, those are the things that he is exuding towards me in all the ways that I mess up and I screw up. Right. And it's just like, right. It talks about like, we're supposed to be Christ's like representative or ambassadors.
Right.
And so what a better way to even represent God to your children or stepchildren or whoever, right? Like is by just going, hey, help me, God, get these characteristics right. And he's like, let me show you. I'm going to fill your house with love as you do this, right?
Opportunities for you for days.
I love that. And so I'm so excited. I think this session specifically is filled with a lot of scripture and kind of working through that and just kind of going, all right, let's see what the Bible says about these and kind of really kind of hold up almost like a mirror and go, let's take a look at ourselves.
Wow. A lot of stories too.
Yeah.
Like I said, we are very authentic when we share.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have we had no resources at all. So to be able to offer resources like this is huge.
Yeah.
And just to make it available to everybody is amazing. And we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you talk about the stories, we don't handpick stories that are going to make us look good.
Right.
Either. Oh, no. You learned the truth about Steve and Deanna.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say it's like we don't just pick rated G or rated PG stories. I mean, we pick and not that we're talking about anything inappropriate or anything that, but I mean, we lay it all out there where we've made mistakes, you know, and one of the beauties has been is that, you know, we try to be so authentic that we've, our daughters, at least two of our daughters have gone through the class with us. One of them twice.
Oh, wow.
Just because they were there and they were available, and we would not tell anybody that they were our daughters, but somehow it would always come out because we did tables that were so that we would kind of create a small group environment within the class.
Yeah.
And somehow it would always come out. And then it was just like the whole class forgot that we were even teaching. It was
and
like,
then they wanted to ask.
They all wanted to,
how was that?
Is that story really true? And they're like, yeah, it kind of is. And they're like, so which one of you were the ones that was the point, the point of the story? And that was me.
Well, I think, what a gift for you all to draw on your own experiences, your own mistakes, and go, here it is. I'm going to be vulnerable and open, And we're going to take what we've learned in all this work with these pastors that you have done to put together this curriculum. Yeah. And so thank you. Thank you both for just your gift in this curriculum and in really hoping to serve other families. And so I'm super excited for those of you out there to really take a look at this training. If you, as you were kind of listening, go, man, I could really use some more of those fruit of the spirit. I'm struggling. I'm more working on the flesh stuff in my blended family, my step family. I want to encourage you, check out the link below, Arizona Family Counseling, where we can really support you through taking some of these scriptures if you need that support and just really helping you work that through in your own family. And so thanks for joining us. God bless.